You got into the safety business because you wanted to protect people. But somewhere along the way, the job started controlling your time, your schedule, your priorities, even your income potential. What if the expertise you've built over the years in the field can give you something more? More freedom, more control, more ownership of your future. I'm Sheldon Primus, the author of 7 Steps to Starting a Profitable Safety Consulting Business and the host of the Safety Consultant Podcast, with more than 350 episodes helping safety professionals become consultants and grow their career. Consulting changed my life. In fact, I'm a full-time RVer and one consulting contract paid for my home I live in today. Now, I help safety professionals build their own consulting practice through bi-weekly coaching calls, accountability, and personal guidance. But this program isn't for everyone. Start with the consultant readiness audit at sheldon.coach.
What if everything we thought we knew about safety was just interference? From the host of the Rated R Safety Show and the founder of Safety FM comes the complete Signal Transmission Trilogy, now available in one powerful edition. Safety, in my opinion, the book that started the conversation. Safety Mutation, where the boundaries of culture, systems, and belief begin to break. And now, Safety Transmission, the final piece of the Signal. For the first time, all 3 books are together in one volume. The Signal Transmission Trilogy, complete edition. This isn't just about compliance. It's about consciousness. It's about decoding the way we think, lead, and live, inside and outside the system. Whether you've been following the Signal since the beginning or you're just now tuning in, this is the version to own. Search Signal Trilogy on Amazon or visit safetyfm.com to get your copy now.
Hi, Jim Pozel from Safety Wars. I'll be watching the World Baseball Classic tonight. So I decided to pre-record some stuff. What do we have going on? We think we're watching a baseball game, but what are we watching? We're watching systems under pressure. Human performance and what happens. When everything is on the line, because tonight is the World Baseball Classic final game. USA versus Venezuela. What you're really watching with this is the game within the game. Let me tell you something. If you think this is about bats and balls, you're missing it. This is about decision-making under pressure, error recovery, leadership, in real time. Sound familiar? It should, because that's every job site you've ever been on. Let's start here. Error is normal. I don't care who you are, whether you're a major league ball player or a brand new hire at your job. Somebody tonight is going to make a mistake. Miss a play, hang a pitch, blow an assignment, it's going to happen. But now, the question is not, will there be error? The question is, what happens next? Does the system absorb it, or does it cascade? Because that's the difference between a near miss and a disaster. Here's what I want you to watch tonight. Something we call the response loop. 4 steps. Something goes wrong. There's an immediate reaction. There's a team response. Then the next execution. A walk, a stolen base, a single, inning explodes, or a walk, double play. Then comes the eventual reset. That is system resilience in real time. Let's talk about the context. The game is in Miami. The crowd, it's going to feel like a home game for Venezuela. Same players, different environment, different behavior. Pitchers rush, hitters get aggressive. Everything speeds up for them. What's the context? We know it drives behavior. If you don't understand the environment, you don't understand the outcome. There are 3 moments I want you to watch tonight. Number 1, the first pitch of every at-bat. Strike, control, ball, variability. So when there's a strike, that's control, ball, variability. Number two, two outs. This is where the championships are won. Can you execute when everything says you should? Number three, bullpen decisions. Leadership, uncertainty. Too early? You burn your system. Too late? You lose the game. Now here's where the team falls apart. Blame. Pitcher misses. There's frustration. Error in the field. Finger pointing. A bad call. An emotional spiral. Blame fixes nothing. What matters is reset. Refocus and execute. Here's your matchup. You have Team USA, an engineered system deep with MLB players. It's structured, it's controlled, it's a system. You have Venezuela, a variable system, dare I say an underdog. They have the energy, they have the momentum, they have the emotion, but they have variability. And here's the truth. Systems don't fail when things go right. Systems fail when variability spikes. So the winner tonight is simple. Who manages variability better? So when you watch this game, just don't watch the score. Watch the response. Watch the leadership. Watch the system under stress. Because this isn't just baseball, folks. This is human performance. This is risk. This is reliability. And remember, the goal is not perfection. The goal is resilience. Because the system will be tested. It always is. This is Jim Poelzl, and this is Safety Wars. Play ball.
Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
Hello, hello, hello. I know that's a little bit of a different intro. Probably not what you were expecting. That's fine. A lot of stuff goes on here at Safety Wars that we're not expecting. Just the way it is. So, there were some complaints on some of the other shows out there about... No, I don't want to make this political. We'll just say the way that St. Patrick's Day was addressed by some politicians, especially overseas, like the President of Ireland. Right? So, what we're doing is we're going to talk today, right, about, well, we talked about the World Baseball Classic. Let's talk about we're going to talk a little bit about St. Patrick today. Really, St. Patrick's? You're going to work this into Safety Wars? Yeah, we're going to work it into Safety Wars. Let's see how it goes. With this. Of course, we pre-write. No, I've been trying to pre-write things. Because you guys deserve the best. You're I try to shoot from the hip on a lot of the stuff. And some of the stuff you got to prepare. So this is our St. Patrick's Day message. St. Patrick, a story of grace, risk, and redemption. Right? there's War On for Your Safety here at Safety Wars, and today we're stepping off the job site and into history. But don't get too comfortable, because what we're about to talk about is one of the greatest case studies in human performance, risk, resilience, and transformation ever recorded. What are we talking about? We're talking about St. Patrick. Now, most people think that they know all about St. Patrick. Green beer, parades, shamrocks, maybe a story about snakes. That's not the real story, right? We're talking about what goes on often, right? Especially if you're a new listener here. We talk about what's going on behind the scenes, what the additional information you need. So you're not being manipulated, not being screwed around. And that's what we're here going to talk about. The real story about St. Patrick is about a kidnapped teenager, a slave, a man shaped by isolation, fear, and uncertainty, who will later return to the very place of his suffering, not for revenge, but for mission. We'll let that sink in. At about 16 years old, Patrick was taken from his home in Roman Britain and forced into slavery in Ireland. No safety plan, no rescue system, no controls, just exposure, physical, psychological, and spiritual. From a Safety Wars perspective, all this stuff is just a total system failure. But here's where it gets interesting. In that isolation, Patrick didn't collapse. He didn't check out. He turned inward and upward. He began to pray constantly. He later wrote that he would pray dozens, sometimes hundreds of times a day. Now think about that through a human and organizational performance lens. Error is normal. People drift. People disconnect. Patrick admits he wasn't even that religious before the incident, but under stress, under exposure, under consequence, something changed. He adapted through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not because the system supported him, because faith reshaped him. After about 6 years, he escapes. He makes it home. You would think that's case closed, right? Wrong. Because then comes the calling. He has a vision, the vision of the voices of the Irish people calling him back. Like Jonah being called to Nineveh. Except he didn't have to be dragged there by a whale, but by God. Now, from a risk management standpoint, this makes no sense. You don't go back to the hazard. You eliminate exposure. You engineer it out. You put distance between you and the threat, but Patrick doesn't. He goes back. And this is where theology and safety intersect in a very uncomfortable way. Because what Patrick demonstrates is something we don't always like to talk about in safety. Not all risk is meant to be eliminated. Some risk is redeemed. Patrick returns to Ireland as a missionary. Not as a victim, but as a servant. He brings the message of Jesus Christ to a culture that was tribal, dangerous, and completely outside the Roman system. No infrastructure, no compliance framework, no regulatory oversight, just mission. And he succeeds, not through force, not through hierarchy, but through relationship, humility, and conviction. He calls himself a sinner, unlearned, weak. Sound familiar? That's the theology of grace. Very much in line with what Martin Luther would later articulate centuries later. That we are saved not by our strength, but by God's grace. Patrick didn't see himself as the hero. He saw himself as the instrument. Now let's talk about one of the most famous teaching tools in history, the shamrock. Three leaves, one plant. Simple, memorable, effective. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Holy Trinity. From a safety training standpoint, this is gold. He took a complex theological truth, the Holy Trinity, and made it understandable to the workforce, to the people, to the culture he was serving. That's what great communicators do. They just don't deliver information, they translate it. And then there is the story of the snakes. Did he actually drive snakes out of Ireland? Probably not. But symbolically? Absolutely. Because the snakes represent something bigger. Darkness, false belief, chaos. And what Patrick brought was light, truth, and order. Now let's bring this back to our show here, Safety Wars. Patrick's life tells us a few things. First, context drives behavior. A kidnapped teenager becomes a man of faith because of the environment he was placed in. Second, blame fixes nothing. Patrick doesn't spend his life blaming his captors. He moves forward with purpose. Third, learning and adaption are everything. He didn't bring Roman systems to Ireland. He adapted to the Irish. And fourth, people are not the problem to control. They are the solution to empower. Patrick didn't conquer Ireland. He converted it through trust, through a relationship, and through a message of grace. And here's the biggest takeaway. Sometimes the greatest transformation doesn't come from eliminating risk, but from facing it with purpose. Patrick went back into the hazard. Not because it was safe, but because it was necessary. And in doing so, he changed the nation. That's not just theology. That's leadership. That's resilience. And that is a case study worth remembering.
Safety Wars is streaming now.
SafetyFM.com.
In an unpredictable world, one voice rises above the chaos. Meet Jim Polzel, a seasoned safety expert who's navigated through some of the most dangerous scenarios, from anthrax, explosive cleanups, disasters, and numerous environmental cleanups, and lived to tell the tale. Now he's bringing his wealth of knowledge, insights, and experiences to you through Safety Wars. From workplace hazards to the hidden dangers in your own home, Jim covers it all with his engaging storytelling. Safety Wars isn't just a podcast. It's your guide to a safer world. Join Jim Polzel and become part of the Safety Wars revolution. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos. Safety Wars. Your safety is our mission.
Have you listened or watched the Safety Wars show? It does stream live on the radio and on the streamer emers that we have. So if you have not taken a listen to Jim Polzel and what the hell he's doing every evening with Safety Wars, I would strongly encourage you to take a view or take a listen, whichever option is available for you, and take a listen to what the hell he has going on. It will take some deep dives and some information that you might be interested in.
This is going to blow your mind. There's a new daytime talk show on your local cable access station. What happens when safety, scandal, and heartbreak collide? Welcome to Safety Wars, the talk show. Today's episode is a doozy. Imagine confronting your unsafe supervisor who just happens to be your ex-wife's new hubby. Talk about a powder keg. But wait, there's more. We've got an exclusive interview with a corporate exec who's taken out life insurance policies on his riskiest workers, hoping to cash in on a deadly mishap. Yup, you heard that right. It's a real-life plot twist you can't make up. Tune in as Jim Posel, CSP, our very own Jerry Springer of safety, dives deep into this explosive confrontation. Sparks will fly and secrets will be exposed. Catch the full episode on Safety Wars on YouTube and your favorite podcast platform. Don't miss out on the drama that could save your life. Like and share now, and stay safe, folks.
OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Polzel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy!
You are listening to Safety Wars.
Tomorrow's Safety Today.
Hey, everybody, it's me. I'm back again. Yes, we had a little bit of a diversion there, but it applies. We're going to be doing stuff like this more often, I hope. Here, as we progress and as we move along, U.S. Department of Labor launched the Social Safety Champions Program to advance workplace safety. Right, in an effort to promote workplace safety, U.S. Department of Labor's OSHA today announced the launch of its Safety Champions Program, a new cooperative initiative designed to help employers develop and implement effective safety and health programs. The Safety Champions Program meets businesses where they are on their pathway to safety and health success and encourages them to take proactive steps with the philosophy of continuous improvement to prevent workplace injuries, illnesses, and fatalities. Department of Labor's new Safety Champions Program exemplifies the Trump administration commitment to supporting and empowering job creators, said U.S. Secretary of Labor Lori Chavez Ramer. By providing employers with these resources, we are putting American workers first and keeping them healthy and safe on the job. The program has three progressive steps, introductory, intermediate, and advanced, with each aligned with OSHA's recommended practices for our safety and health programs. The tiered structure allows employers to build their safety and health programs over time and adopt the best practices tailored to their needs and operations. Participants can choose to work independently or collaborate with special government employees, individuals with safety and health experience who work alongside OSHA to provide guidance and technical assistance. The Safety Champions Program emphasizes seven elements that are essential for effective safety and health programs: management leadership, worker participation, hazard ID, prevention and control, education and training, program evaluation, communication. So they have a link here. Let's see. Do they have a link? Yes. They give you a link to sign up for their program. I want to become a safety champion to embark on the pathway to safety and health success. So please sign up. Let's see here. No. Oh, oh, oh. No, that's my... Let's see. Tools. Explore these tools to guide you through the Champions Program. And here you have the OSHA instruction, policy and procedures on this. Right? I will do a further deep dive later on this stuff. Social Media Toolkit. Let's see what that is. Yeah, you'll be seeing this more and more lately with this stuff, right? We'll see. We'll go through this. This sounds like something we need to do a deep dive on with that. I don't know. We'll take a look at it. I tell you what, if you are in 30 hour, if you're an outreach trainer, period, probably something you need to look at. U.S. Department of Labor cites Midwest Commercial Bakery for repeat serious safety violations following an employee injury. We discussed this injury before. U.S. Department of Labor has cited a Midwest Commercial Bakery for repeatedly exposing employees to safety hazards after workers suffered a broken arm in September 2025 when clearing dough from a machine while working on a production line. The department's OSHA cited the baker with repeat violations for lack of lockout-tagout training, 1910-147, failing to lock out a machine during servicing, and other hazards related to unguarded machines. The agency also cited the employer for failing to train employees in electrical work, implement safety-related work practices, and use personal protective equipment when performing electrical work. They were cited for three repeat and three serious violations, with proposed penalties totaling $326,000. We'll update you. You know, they don't have the detailed press releases with this stuff anymore. Not like with Biden, where they would give you the actual citations. So we're doing the best we can. We got to wait for that. U.S. Department of Labor launches data visualization tool. I have some comments on this for union reporting forms, providing valuable insight on union spending. Most significant update to Form LM-2 disclosure in over 20 years. The Department of Labor's Office of Labor Management Standards today announced the launch of a data visualization tool designed to provide union members with a simple, straightforward way to see their union dues are spent. The new data visualization tool, the most significant update to Form LM-2 disclosure since OLMS started posting filings online over 20 years ago, takes information reported by unions on the Form LM-2, which ran hundreds of pages and displays and interactive graphs, charts, searchable tables, etc. Right, so that's all right. Union members work hard to earn their paychecks and contribute to their union dues. They shouldn't have to work hard to understand how those dues are being spent, said Secretary of Labor Lori Chavez de Remer. This update is just one of many changes in the Department of Labor is making to serve the American worker more efficiently and effectively under President Trump's leadership. Under the Labor Management Reporting and Disclosure Act, certain unions are required to annually file the Form LM-2 reporting their assets, liabilities, receipts, and disbursements. This reporting promotes transparency and helps ensure union members are better informed about their union's financial conditions and operations. Right, and let's see. I'm going to click on some of these. What do we get? What do we get? What do we get? So this is for the, I'm just picking one out here. The Machinist AFL-CIO out of Louisville, Kentucky. Right. Receipts, $106,000. Right. Hold on. This just switched on me. All right. Here we go. Lodge 30, Louisville, Kentucky. Members 345. Collected $106,649,000. Disbursement, I guess that's how much money they're spending on stuff. $91,039. Assets, liabilities. Does union have a PAC? Was union audited? Loss of union funding? No. So this gives you an idea. Now, the reality here is this. I've been working with union members for 33 years. My family are blue collar. I'm like the only person who was never in a union in my family, in my immediate family, right? And I can tell you, how many union meetings do you think these folks go to? Not too many. I know my father, working for Western Electric in Kearney, was the largest employer in the state of New Jersey for many years, they would have the union meetings during work. How's that? So that was back in the day. That's not the way it happens now because the company had their own, the facility had the union was like only representative of that facility. That's my understanding. And they had, so what happens is, people don't go to the union meetings. They don't know what's going on often. And I encourage you to go to your union meetings. So this is another tool to figure out, well, maybe no, maybe they're looking at people to compare. Well, this is what the union is saying. This is what their paperwork is saying. Sort of like, you know, but, you know, as we all know, people never lie on their tax forms. That doesn't happen. Or IRS filings. Who would do such a thing, right? United States announced a successful resolution of rapid response labor mechanism. I'm not sure this. Anyway, this is, you know, let me skip back. Yeah, forgot to share this. This is basically what the form looks like when you scan in on it. And you pick out, I guess, who you're dealing with here, right? The transit union has over $1 million in it. Wow. But anyway. All All right. United States announced a successful resolution rapid response labor mechanism matter at ThyssenKrupp Springs and Stabilizers de Mexico. Yes, I have a dog next door. I was in a little bit of a war with the people next door with their dogs, so I got my Bluetooth speaker right in the against the wall there, and you know, I'm giving them the barking dog, right? Bust their chops a little bit. Action taken by the facility to address the I like to have fun, a little bit of fun. Actions taken by the facility, so basically, here we go. United States has resumed liquidation of tariffs on goods from the ThyssenKrupp facility, which manufactures automotive suspension components. Actions taken by the facility to address the matter. Doesn't say really what the matter is here. Reinstating two workers on the same terms and conditions held before they were dismissed in retaliation for union activity and issuing full payment of back pay and benefits. Number two, signing an agreement with La Liga Sindical Obrera Mexicana, an independent union that establishes a facility protocol and adopting, disseminating, and implementing a neutrality statement and company guidelines on freedom of association and collective bargaining, including a zero-tolerance policy for violations, training all company personnel on the guidelines and neutrality commitments. Actions taken by the government of Mexico to address the matter include delivering in-person training for all company personnel on freedom of association and collective bargaining, and monitoring the facility and engaging with workers and company through its review period. And here's the whole background here. I'm not going to read the whole thing here, but basically preventing people from joining a union in one way or another, it appears to be. U.S. Department of Labor to host educational seminar for agricultural industry employers, workers, and other stakeholders. U.S. Department of Labor's Wage and Hour Division will hold a hybrid person and virtual agricultural seminar to provide guidance on federal laws and governing in the agricultural industry. Right? The division will join other federal agencies to discuss key agricultural labor topics. Participating federal agencies include Office of Foreign Labor Certification, OSHA, etc. And we're going to go to a commercial break and a new thing here. Let's see if it actually works, is we're going to be talking about the news, going back to some of that here in a minute. God willing, I can bring it up. It's going to work. Come on, we're going to be positive here. It's going to work. It's going to work. We're going to have FSN News here. So, all right. So, okay, bear with me here.
From the front lines of the safety war, it's Safety Wars with your host, Jim Posel on Safety FM. Get ready to face the harsh reality.
Is your safety training old, stale, and hackneyed? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety? How about safety training that actually addresses your hazards in your workplaces and is not standardized baloney from 25 years ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at safetywars.com or call Jim Posel at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you're receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces.
Washington, I'm Kate Fisher, the director of the U.S. National Counterterrorism Center. Joe Kent has abruptly resigned, saying he cannot in good conscience back the Trump administration's war in Iran. The former Iraqi war veteran and Trump supporter says Iran posed no imminent threat when the U.S. attacked. Tony Waterman has more from Washington.
In his resignation letter, Joe Kent says it's clear that the U.S. started the war in Iran because of pressure from Israel. He accuses high-ranking Israeli officials and influential members of the American media of deploying a misinformation campaign that deceived the president into believing Iran posed an imminent threat and that there was a clear path to a swift victory, calling it a lie. President Trump, who appointed Kent to his post, says he always thought Kent was weak on security and that it's probably better that he quit if he thinks Iran doesn't pose a threat to the U.S. Tony Waterman, Washington.
Oil prices remain volatile amid the ongoing conflict in the Middle East. It's forcing up motoring and flying costs with no immediate end in sight. Here's Nick Harper in Washington.
Another roller coaster day for oil prices on Tuesday, jumping around 1 to 3% during the day, largely driven by Donald Trump's words and statements on social media. After he received no support to his idea of creating a coalition of countries to police the Strait of Hormuz and let oil tankers through, he said that the US didn't need the help of anyone. But that hasn't reassured oil markets. And with the price for motorists rising 27% since the start of the conflict, and with airlines saying that jet fuel costs will be jumping dramatically for flyers, many Americans are worried about the cost of travelling on roads and in the air.
Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky's in Britain visiting Prime Minister Keir Starmer. The two leaders are expected to agree on a new defence partnership focused on producing low-cost attack drones and boosting support for Ukraine in its war with Russia. Lara Bentley reports from London.
The UK government says the deal will bring together Ukrainian expertise and the UK's industrial base to develop drone interception systems. Starmer says the conflict in the Middle East, which is now in its third week, has magnified the need for stronger defence, calling it central to both national and economic security. He added that closer cooperation with Ukraine would help counter Russian attacks and better secure the UK and its allies from future threats. Zelensky's visit comes as he tours European capitals seeking to strengthen defence ties. He said on Monday that the key to peace is to increase pressure on Russia.
From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks, continuing our focus this week on various aspects of the US and Israeli war on Iran, and today we're going to look at the possible impacts on the country's extraordinary array of historic cultural sites. Already scores of museums and palaces have been damaged in the conflict, and both Iran and Lebanon are now urging UNESCO to add more sites to an official list of properties that are provided to all parties in the conflict.
Protection of cultural property goes back to Sun Shao in 6th century BC China, who argues destroying the heritage of your enemy is actually creating the first reason for the next conflict.
That's Professor Peter Stone, the UNESCO Chair in Cultural Property Protection at the University of Newcastle.
I'm very worried. There is no, I think, intent on the American side, certainly, to destroy any of the heritage, but that heritage is still getting damaged by what is usually known as collateral damage. So they're firing at something else, but the knock-on effect is that it damages heritage which is close by.
Among those sites already damaged, the country's oldest mosque in Isfahan and buildings close to prehistoric caves that provide evidence of human life dating back to 63,000 years BC. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
Our main news again. The director of the US National Counterterrorism Center, Joe Kent, has abruptly resigned, saying he cannot in good conscience back the Trump administration's war in Iran. Oil prices remain volatile amid the ongoing conflict in the Middle East, forcing up motoring and flying costs. And Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky's in Britain visiting Prime Minister Keir Starmer. They're expected to agree a new defense partnership. And that's the latest feature story news. Kate Fisher reporting.
Yeah, so that's going to be a... We used to have it back when, you know. I, at one time, tried to do five shows a week, and it just wasn't working out. You know, we'll just leave it at that. So we're going to, do this. I don't know. No, we're always changing, always evolving here. So we're going to have three case studies at the end of this program with this. And we've been working on a lot of videos and case studies there, taking real incidents and fictionalizing them. Pardon me. Whoa, hiccups. So we do not... No, I haven't been drinking for St. Patrick's Day. I saw the news It's gone. No, no, no. We don't. No, 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 no. I don't do that anymore. I don't do it any less. No, I'm only joking. I don't do that anymore. Never drank on the air. So we're working to fictionalize a lot of case studies here. We're working on additional training programs for some of our customers, and you'll hear more about that very shortly. So for Safety Wars, happy thanks. There I am. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Where's my head today? And we will, I'll see you tomorrow, God willing.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.
You got into the safety business because you wanted to protect people, but somewhere along the way, the job started controlling your time, your schedule, your priorities, even your income potential. What if the expertise you've built over the years in the field can give you something more? More freedom, more control, more ownership of your future. I'm Sheldon Primus, the author of 7 Steps to Starting a Profitable Safety Consulting Business and the host of the Safety Consultant Podcast. With more than 350 episodes helping safety professionals become consultants and grow their career. Consulting changed my life. In fact, I'm a full-time RVer and one consulting contract paid for my home I live in today. Now, I help safety professionals build their own consulting practice through bi-weekly coaching calls, accountability, and personal guidance. But this program isn't for everyone. Start with the consultant readiness audit at sheldon.coach.
What if everything we thought we knew about safety was just interference? From the host of the Rated R Safety Show and the founder of Safety FM comes the complete Signal Transmission Trilogy, now available in one powerful edition, Safety, In My Opinion, the book that started the conversation, Safety Mutation, where the boundaries of culture, systems, and belief begin to break. And now, Safety Transmission, the final piece of the Signal. For the first time, all 3 books are together in one volume. The Signal Transmission Trilogy, complete edition. This isn't just about compliance. It's about consciousness. It's about decoding the way we think, lead, and live inside and outside the system. Whether you've been following the Signal since the beginning or you're just now tuning in, this is the version to own. Search Signal Trilogy on Amazon or visit safetyfm.com to get your copy now.